Y'all excuse my scruffiness today. I had a hard day yesterday. I turned 50. I had a party. Woo. And then I ate a whole lot of German chocolate cake, a half a pot of coffee. Then the second half, I ate banana pudding and another half a pot of coffee. So that's hard night. But anyway, we're going to make it. We're going to survive it. So let me tell you something. I got to share. This ain't nothing to do with the sermon. I don't even know if we're going to get there. Sorry, Daryl. no, we will. So I got a good friend of mine and stuff. He's real involved in his church and stuff. And when I say his church, when he comes with us, he's part of this church. So, you know, we're the church. But anyway, so that being said, and stuff, we got an inside joke amongst, it's not a joke, but amongst us and stuff. If you will stay in the will of God and doing God's work, if you will pay attention to the small details and how things line up sometimes that you have nothing to do with, and you couldn't do it anyway, most likely. It's all through Jesus, right? So we call them, and it's not, but we call them coincidences. Small coincidences, right? It's a joke because there's no coincidence with God. He has a purpose. He's in control of everything, including what happens, right? So, you know, when I prepare a sermon and stuff, it's a process, and we're not going to go through that. It starts, number one, with what God tells me. Then I build off of that. And a lot of times, it's something I really don't want to do. That's the flesh talking, you know, but we got to obey. We got to listen to God. So anyway, when I prepare my sermons, I do not get with the Sunday school teachers. I don't get with the music leaders. I don't get with the special singers. I don't do all that. So I got two coincidences that just happened this morning. I got this little thing in the mail, and it's called, let me start with the first song we sang today was Standing on the Promises. So let me tell you about standing up for God. And like I said, we didn't coordinate this. What does stand up mean? And standing on the promises of God. First of all, you got to be with God, standing on His promises and His will, right? So what does standing up for God means? We don't stand down. We don't stand down because that's cowardice. And we're talking about biblical virtues or values, right? Don't stand aside. That's compromise. We see a whole lot of that today, a compromise, right? So we don't stand down. We don't stand aside. We don't stand against. That's contention. We don't intentionally go into something trying to stir up stuff, but we stand our ground, right? We stand on our beliefs. And we stand up. That's conviction and courage. So I'm going to challenge you as Christians. You're a Christian. Don't stand down. Stand firm on God's word. Don't stand to the side. Don't compromise. As long as it lines up with God, don't compromise. Don't stand against. And don't stand up. Stand up. That's conviction and courage. It's not, being a Christian is not for wimps. I'll tell you that. And stuff, because, you know, we're going to get persecuted. We're going to get criticized. We're going to have all these things happen. So just remember that. We will be here in a minute in Matthew chapter 25, get around verse 21. That's where we'll be at today. So we're talking about Jesus. She sang about Jesus coming back. He is coming back, right? Okay. So let's keep that in mind. It just so happened we're doing communion today. And Jesus says, do that in remembrance of Him until He comes back. So see how things, that's two coincidences that happened today. We didn't coordinate it. So that's God working there. So a year ago or so, before I became the pastor here, I was asked to fill in for another pastor. He went on vacation. And I was, one of my first sermons, I was tied up in knots. So I I prepared this beautiful sermon. Long, it's going to last about 45 minutes, an hour and 15, something like that. So 15 minutes into it, I was done. And the song leader was doing me a favor and cut the music short to give me time at the pulpit. So we started at, you know, standard time, 11. 11:15, I was standing here in front of a crowd giving a sermon that lasted to 11:15. And I just melted. I didn't know what to do. So I just told them, sorry, there it was. Let's get out of here. So they had to make new lunch plans because it was too early. So anyway, we're going to revisit that sermon today. Now, maybe it lasts longer than 15 minutes. I got a backup today, though. We got communion to help me out here. So, but I think it's pretty important. On the serious side, it's pretty important. Turn to Matthew 25, 21. Let's read. And we're talking about talents that God provides. But so his master replied, this is Matthew 25, 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. That's what we're striving for, is to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what we need to strive for. That's what we need to do for God, for Jesus. And we'll break it down here in a minute. So the translation for talent, if you look in your Bible, probably says talent. Some say gold and stuff. He's using an earthly analogy to compare to what God has given us as talents to use to work for his kingdom. That's what we're going to compare it to. This is Jesus telling, he's telling this parable. And so, believe it or not, everybody in here has something they can offer instead of God's kingdom. And we know we had a ton of discussion in the past and Bible studies and from the pulpit and stuff, but we got to make that move, though. We got to do something. We got to trust God with it and stuff. And I heard a saying the other day, see if I get it right. God doesn't equip, let's see, I'm going to mess it up already. Yeah, God don't use the equip, he equips the called. There you go. He don't call the equip, he equips the call. Answer his call, and then let him work out the details. Let him use you the way he knows. He created you. So he knows everything about you. And I say a ton of times, we are our own worst enemy. You know, we can always make an excuse not to teach or spread his word, do whatever God calls you to do. Let him take care of it. Get him control. That's that obedience and that faith comes in. So back up to verse 14. We're going to study, we're going to break down from chapter 25, verse 14, all the way to 30, about the bags of gold. We're going to call it the bags of gold instead of talent. So the bags of gold, or talent, verse 14 through 15, it said, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, another 2 bags of gold, and another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. So the bags of gold represent talents that you have, what God gives you. And so automatically it's easy for us to go to, why didn't he give 1 5 and 1 2 and 1 1? Why did he do that? And so God is going to use you at that time in the situation he got you in on what your abilities are, what your talents are, what he's going to give you. And I'll tell you what you got to do to increase that is, first of all, be faithful to him and obey him, but you got to study his word. You got to get in his word. You can't just go out there and say, I want to go do whatever for God, and you haven't prepared yourself. You know, he gives us a brain to think with, to use. We got his word, what we got to rely on. To know his word, you got to get in his word. You got to study his word. And you got to do it on a daily basis. I say that all the time. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Encompass everything you do. Base everything you got wrapped around God and what he has for you to do. So he's talking about he gave this bags of gold to him, wealth, tithing and giving. Now, I'm not sitting up here preaching on tithing, but what are you doing with your resources for God? You know, we got to make a living, right? We got to go work. I know some of y'all already did all that, and y'all don't do it no more, but you earned your keep. But we got to work. We got to pay our bills. We got to do all that, right? But what are you using your resources? And I ain't talking about just tithing at the church. And so there's other things you can do. And so I can tell you this, too. It's not just about money, but what about your time? What you doing with your time? Do you spend outside of scheduled church services, or are you doing anything else for God? That's just a self question. You know, all these questions I throw out, that's what you got to stand in front of the mirror and do a self evaluation of yourself. And so, what are you doing with your gold, your talents, your abilities, your time? What are you doing with that? Are you doing anything to further His kingdom, by the way, which He told you to do? That moment you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and stuff, He told us as you become His disciple. And He said, go out into the world, however that may be. You know, we live in a world now where you don't have to go nowhere and you talk to somebody overseas. You know, we got all kind of technology. Or we can use that to further His kingdom as well. Whatever you got access to. What's your reputation? Are you playing Christian? Or you're saying you're a Christian, then out there, everybody sees, because that's a reflection of God's work also. And so when they see that person he's giving all his money, he's doing all this good stuff, but lack of better words, the rest of the week they're living like hell. What kind of witness is that? Are you a good witness for God? Are you doing what He tells you to do daily? You know, we get hung up on schedules and appointments, and you know, we got itineraries all the time at work, at churches, which in itself is nothing wrong with that. But what are you doing after that? When you leave here at 12:30, 1 o'clock today, y'all, I didn't say that funny. Okay. If y'all here at 12:30, 1 o'clock, that's because you ain't listening, you're doing something else. I won't be here. y'all can't laugh every now and then. You know, I'm like, let me take a break a minute. Let me loosen y'all up a little bit. And stuff. Maybe he ain't the best influence or whatever. Y'all are listening. I know a lot of your older people. Rodney Dangerfield. You know what? He's pretty funny, but probably not a Christian. I don't know if he was or not. I don't know his personal life, whatever. What he said, what a crowd, what a crowd. You know, he had a way to make people laugh. I don't. That's why I'm doing this, not a comedian. Yeah, and I probably ain't too good at this. I sure wouldn't when I gave this a year ago when I was all ready to go, and 15 minutes later, I'm completely done. So anyway, some people might like that. They get to go home early. But anyway, let me get back on track. What's your abilities? Let's say your wealth. How are you using your time, your money, your reputation, your abilities, your talents, your gifts? Let me ask you this. Do you know what your gifts are, your spiritual gifts? And I'm going to, just by research and being around a little while doing this kind of stuff, a lot of you probably don't. And I'm just being honest. But here's your homework assignment. Okay? Go home and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's no every bit of it. Not just overnight, but just kind of reflect on that and learn what your talents are. What can you tap into? You can use your earthly talents to do godly work. And so, bare minimum, when you at work or you at a social meetings or whatever, you can be a witness. You can be a witness for God. So what are your abilities? learning and studying. But, you know, you just don't go, whatever your career choice was, you just didn't jump into it without having, you know, about either education or working at it. Same thing with this. And so God wants you, he needs you, or he asks, not, he don't need nothing, but he's asking you to get in his word and find out what you have to offer. He knows, but are you willing, or are you holding yourself back? We need to get into his word. The parable warns believers to diligently take everything God has given and invest it for his glory as we wait on Christ's return. She just sang the song, he's coming. We don't know when, but we talked about before, and perspective of eternity is short, but he is coming back. Are you going to be ready? Are you prepared for that? If he came right this second, you got yourself ready. And here in a little bit, when I wrap this up, we do communion. And I'll explain more of that later, but communion is we need to really reflect on what he done for us and have ourselves right and ready. And we get into that in a minute. Verse 19 says, after a long time, the master and those servants return and settle the accounts with them. Now, this is where the rubber fits meet the road when he finds out what they've done with their what he gave them, right? So I'll reflect real quick on that word, long time. Jesus seems, here's the key word, to imply that there will be a lengthy period between his first and second coming. Again, I kind of gave you the answer. What is a long time? There's some people, very few, but there's some young people out there, younger than me, that thinks 50 is a long time. Some of y'all wish y'all were 50 again. To be honest. Not pointing fingers, but anyway. But what's a long time? In the perspective of heaven, eternity, spending with God, there's you can't put a time on it. If he don't come back for another 1,000 years or 2,000 years or he comes tomorrow, either way, in perspective, it's not that long. And people get tired of, if you just for reference, 2 Peter 3, verse 3, tells it, but you should not think his delay means he's not coming at all. A lot of people get hung up on that. I heard that a bunch of times. Well, it's been 2,000 plus years, he ain't coming back. I hear that a lot. I do. But again, put it in perspective and stuff. Don't take it as it's going to be a long time. Right. Right. So let's get to the talents real quick. So you had two faithful servants. We'll break it down here in a minute. You had one unfaithful. So let's talk about that real quick. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. This is the first guy. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold, also, that was a guy with five. So he doubled it. I'm just paraphrasing. Y'all can read it later, chapter 25. He doubled the amount. The other guy had two bags. He doubled his amount. The man with two bags of gold, he said, entrusted me with two. I had gained two more. And the master said, well done, good, faithful servant. So he told both of them, good and faithful servant. So we tend, or maybe just me. Let me pick on my own self. Don't get hung up on, well, this guy had five bags. He doubled that. This guy had two bags. So this guy did better. I mean, that's kind of the world, you know, that's the flesh talking. He did better than the other guy. But what did he start out with? He doubled what he had. The other guy had only two bags, but he doubled what he had. He did what he could with what he had. And that's where we need to look at it. What talents you have? You know, there's more people got more talents than other people. What are you doing with what you have? That's what God's looking at. Not the amount. It ain't about the quality. I mean, the quantity is about the quality. Whatever he's giving you, if it's just one thing to do, if you did it 100% like he told you to do, good and faithful servant. So don't get hung up on the amount. Get hung up on what was done, the end product. What did he produce? Then he said, I'll put you in charge of many things because they obeyed. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, I like that part real quick. Let me discuss that. So the master's happiness, you know, just relating back to Jesus, that's the comparison here. So are you making Jesus happy? If Jesus came back right now to collect, you make him happy? Is he happy with your life, what you've done? Now, you know, we all probably got something in the closet we don't, you know, we ain't just too proud of. But remember we had that sermon last week, and so if you truly repent and get rid of it, it's gone forever in God's eyes. He's finished with it. He ain't going to hold it against you. You need to focus on all you got control of is right now. That's all you got control of what you do with your talents is right now. Because you're not promised tomorrow, and the past doesn't matter. You need to focus on what you're doing right now for God. Now, don't be this guy. Well, hang on, let me finish this up real quick. Also, look at Luke 16:10. Y'all don't have to look it up. Daryl throw it up here in a minute. Regardless of what God has entrusted you with, the amount, use it to extend God's glory and influence. That's what the purpose is. The rewards are abundant. You cannot outgive God. Let me tell you that much. Whatever he gives you, you do 100% what he tells you to do. Don't worry about doing too much. You can't pray too much. You can't give too much. You can't go to church too much. There's no such thing as too much with God if you're doing his will, you're doing what he wants you to do. So don't focus on that either. Don't get hung up on, I got to do more or I did enough. You just keep on going on. That's what your dad says a lot. Just keep on going on. I like that. You know, that's what we need to do. So Luke 16:10 tells us, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. It's just like if you've ever been to a finance class, if you can't manage your little bit of money you got, and then all of a sudden you win the lottery, you can't manage that either. Now, how many lottery people you know are people coming in a lot of money? They broke before the end of the year. Because if you cannot manage money, you cannot manage any amount. Same thing with your talents. You manage what you got. Don't try to manage something you don't have. And that's another thing I want to say too. All this means nothing unless you got Jesus Christ. Because you can't use or spread or share nothing that you don't have. If you don't have him, you can't give it away. You got to have it first. Then I close with this, the last guy. This is where we don't want to be. The guy had one bag. He was scared and he was afraid of the master. He feared, and I want you to get this comparison here. He feared his master. Proverbs tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all understanding. But this guy totally took the fear in the wrong perspective. Okay? He had one bag, so he went and buried it and gave it right back to him. He did nothing with it. He sat on it. He didn't do anything with his talent. Then the man who received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man. And this is verses 24 through 26. I know you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Let that soak in. It's up there. Now, I had to dig a little bit. Does that make sense to you? I mean, you can be honest. You ain't got to tell me, but just think about it. I knew you're a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. You know what he's talking about? What's he talking about there? You usually don't gather anything unless you plant it or sow it, right? There's people ahead of you planting seeds. There's people out there. There's other Christians. We ain't the only ones, right? And so we may be called to go out there to gather some crops that somebody else went out there and planted the seed for. Others before him. So look at that perspective of it and stuff. If I go out here and I witness to somebody And then you go back out there and go behind me and witness to him again later. That's what he's talking about. It's, you know, we're all working together. We're all got the same goal. God has the same purpose for us, the ultimate purpose, to witness and reach out to people. He don't ask you to do it by yourself. He just tells you, you go do your part. You just obey him. Don't worry about the rest of it. You may not never know the outcome of your product, of what you've done. You may not never see the results yourself. But down the road or through somebody else, it polish that person off or whatever you want to call it and get them in to where they need to be. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See here what belongs to you, his master replied. You don't want to hear these words. You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that harvest where I have sown and gathered. You knew what I left to go do. What did Jesus tell you he's going to go do when he left? What did he say he's going to do? He said, I'm coming back. I'm going to go prepare a room for you. And I'm coming back. So we know what he's doing. So are we going to do anything about it? Or are we just going to sit idle and don't worry about it? He might come back whenever. So we know what he's doing. We know he's coming back. So we got to prepare ourselves. And those that see God as hard never discover the joyful biblical meaning of the fear of the Lord. Ultimate respect. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is a beginning of knowledge, but fools, which is translated in the Greek, morally deficient, despise wisdom and instruction, loving reverence. Do we see that today? We see people hung up on earthly, worldly things. Their whole world revolves around this, what they can accumulate, stuff. I like to use that, this old country word, stuff. To build everything on stuff. When we need to focus, and stuff is okay in the right perspective, in the right mindset. What our number one goal is to reach people for Christ and be ready for him. Because they live in fear, the wrong kind of fear, they never multiply the gifts God gives them. That is a use it or lose it deal. He gives it to you, it's provided, you got to find out what it is, work on it. What is holding you back? What stumbling block is holding you back? What fear is holding you back? What criticism, what people might think of you? What, you know, I ain't got time for that. I got to do whatever I got to do. I got to do this first and then. You know, you always hear that bunch of time. Yeah, I'm going to do that when I get back to it. I don't know why, but Lori tells me, she reminds me every 6 months that she told me to do something. I don't know why she got to remind me so often. I'm going to get to it. You know, the same concept. I mean, you know, of course I'm being funny. Yeah. So it's the same concept. So what are you doing? Or you just, I'll do it later. One of these days later, it's going to be too late. It's going to be over with. He's going to come back, and then it's too late. It's done. You had your opportunities while you're here. While you're still out, today is the day of salvation. Today is, right now. All right. I'm going to wrap it up. The parable teaches the truth that Jesus' followers are duty-bound to work to expand the kingdom in his absence, no matter how long the wait for his return. No matter how long it is. You just keep going until he calls you home, either by death or he comes back and gets us. You just keep on pushing on. And you find out what your talents are. So what we're going to do, we're going to do something a little different here. If it don't work, we won't do it again. So Thomas Edison, Ryan shared this with me. He invented the light bulb. He did it a couple hundred times before he figured out how to do it. And he just said, I didn't make any mistakes. I just found out ways not to do it. So today, we're going to work on our communion today, the way we're going to present it here in a little bit and stuff. And if it don't work, we won't do it again. So it'll work. But everybody stand. As a musician comes forward, before we do communion, I want you to, I said today's the day of salvation. If you need to get right with the Lord, now's the time to do it. And stuff. I'll be down front. If you need to come talk to me, you need to come to this altar. However or whatever you need to get done, you do it. Do it where you're standing. We're going to bow and pray. And while they play the music, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to hear your word and just guide us and direct us and address you need us to go. Just be with us. And so just to get our focus on you and reveal to us our purpose and what we need to do, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.